T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, it's getting spicy in here because the Warriors are losing. And they're one game up on the Houston Rockets. And there's a possibility they miss the playoffs altogether. The play-in, the playoffs, you name it. And it'll lead us into what will be a riveting offseason. And the most crucial offseason probably in the history of Joe Lacob's tenure as owner of the Golden State Warriors. This one's going to be a breaking point this offseason. And who's got to go? Who's got to stay? We'll get there. There's 12 games left in the regular season. But good morning to everybody out there, especially on YouTube and Twitch, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings, dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. The Comcast Business Text Line. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the roast, you better bring it. Most of the callers have brought it today. Because if you don't, you will hear this sound. And it's brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Good morning to all the graveyard shift workers, the truck drivers, carpenters, homicide detectives, cops, highway patrol, overnight dancers. Hopefully you made something this weekend. Look, Warriors lose. We can argue about minutes. And the fact is they're 36-34. They're 36-34. They're the smallest team in the league. They're the slowest team in the league. When they double down in the paint, it takes them a million years to get out to the three-point line to contest a shot. They're breaking down. And as Draymond Green said, you know, first of all, Shasky, Friday night, because we talk Friday night. We're going to get to the calls. Kurt, Robert, BPA, everybody out there. We're going to get everybody on.
I got triggered 888-957-9570.
Why'd you get triggered?
Well, because I watched them right before halftime. They were in control of the game. And look, it's a long game. And teams go on runs. I feel like I'm doing a Steiny impression now. But like, I watched them the final minute of that quarter, in the second quarter. I go, there's no way in hell that they're going to finish this quarter out properly. And I knew it. And Halliburton hit that three, and I threw the remote up in the air because I was feeding the baby. I threw the remote up in the air, and I was like, LJ, the Pacers are going to blow the doors off them in the second half. And what happened? Control from the Pacers second half.
Well, I mean, haven't you watched this season? That's been happening all season long.
Closing quarters. It's like I'm waiting for the dam to break.
Well, it's been happening all season long.
I know.
All season long. First quarter of that game, Warriors played great basketball.
Pods hit threes.
I mean, they played great basketball. And yet it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough.
It felt like Halliburton was just like waiting in the wings.
Well, he was shooting 19% from three in his previous nine games.
Of course he was.
He was 12-62, and he goes 4-8 from three against the Golden State Warriors. Nimhart did what he wanted to do. Pascal Siakam did what he had. Look, the Warriors played very well in the first quarter, yet it was a tie game, 38-38. They played really well in the second quarter, yet they're only up one. And all it took was 1 8-minute spurt by the Pacers, and that's where the Warriors are different from years past. Teams are sitting there playing like Minnesota played like crap in the first half. He had the early down 8. They put together one good stretch. Boom, they got a lead. Teams are now getting right against the Golden State Warriors in 7 minutes or less. That's what happened Friday night. That's what happened yesterday.
The Marcus in Richmond special?
The Marcus in Richmond special.
7 minutes or less?
All you need is 11 minutes against these dubs right now. That's what it looks like. Well, Curry was asked yesterday, and I'm playing Draymond cut as well, because I do want to revisit the Pacers for a second and just what they were saying about that film. Because what I saw was a lot of guys not getting back on defense. I saw a lot of lackadaisical effort. I don't want to say the Q word, quit, but it was alarming how poorly they played that second half. Here's Curry when he was asked how tough it was to watch the Pacers film.
As a player, you know when you're messing up and making mistakes and there's a lack of focus, and then you go watch the film and it's 10 times worse. That's what it kind of felt like, where every little play, we were one step behind. Every, I guess, possession that could have kept the lead a certain, or kept the momentum on our side, or, you know, forced them to think about us a little bit, we literally, it was play after play after play after play. So it is difficult to watch it and know you let one slip tonight. Like I said, I'm sure the film would look a lot better. Still a loss. So I think that honestly just speaks to, you know, our pride and our ability to come out and want to play hard, knowing we've had a tough go as of late.
Yeah, it was nasty. We had control of the game at one point, and then we just gave it up and never got it back.
How much are you now kind of tracking the Rockets?
I don't give a damn about the Rockets. We're a very quiet team, so you have communication. You have issues on defense when you have bad communication.
Hold the phone. Hold the phone for a second.
It sucks. So, you know, when you have to win and you don't, it sucks.
Wait, Draymond really said we're a quiet team. He's like the loudest guy in the league. He dropped how many episodes?
No, he's loud.
Okay, yeah. The rest of the team I would agree with.
So that's what he's saying. Okay. He said we're too quiet.
He dropped like 5 podcast episodes last week.
But no, he said as a team, we're too quiet. We're too quiet. They don't communicate. Too quiet. Not enough talking.
I'm shocked you talking to me.
I mean, just... you know what the problem is? And I know you and I are like at each other's throats every now and then over this because we care. Like, this team's brought us so much joy, and it's been, you can make the argument, and I might make it, that it's been more dynastic than even the Niners, as great as the Niners were, because they won in even like a shorter period of time and went back to more finals than even the 49ers and their run, even though the Niners got that 5th championship. Like, you can make the argument this was the most dynastic of dynasties the Bay Area has ever seen, the most highest of highs with minimal lows. Some of the greatest players to ever play in any sport all at this time. And it's you're watching this thing kind of come apart at the seams, and it's not slow. It feels like it's happening quick in real time. It's tough to watch. It's tough. What?
The downfall is near. It's coming hard.
That applies to every single team.
Am I wrong?
Oh, I mean, no. I'm watching. I cover the damn team. I do the television show, for crying out loud. I
But it makes me sad.
No. Don't you think I'm
and
sad
angry.
Too? I'm thinking about, damn, am I even going to get to cover a playoff game this year? I'm honestly told my bosses at NBC Sports Bay Area, I said, hey, make sure you get me up to Sacramento for a playoff game. I'm not used to not attending playoff games anymore. That's how spoiled I am. What the hell am I going to do in late April? What am I going to do in May? June?
Hi, I'm Bonte Hill, and I'm standing next to Randy Wynn. You're looking live at Oracle Park.
I don't use it looking live, but yeah. I'm actually excited about the Giants. I am excited about the Giants. Why do I always sound like that? Why you guys make me sound like I'm not?
Brock Purdy.
No. I told you guys yesterday on Garlic Fries. I called you guys. I think the Giants are going to surprise a lot of people.
You did, and that was very awesome when you called in. Thank you for that.
Yeah, Bonte. No problem. I did it right before TV, Bonte. I had to kick in. Listen.
We could feel him coming along at the end. That's why I had to get you off, you know?
Well, it's getting 2:45. I love it. Starts asking me all these questions. I forget what we were talking about. But no, I'm excited about the Giants. Jorge Soler hit 450 feet yesterday. Felt like he hit it 450 feet. This team's going to be good.
But I think, where I fall down, and you can disagree with me. Warrior fans can disagree with me. Totally fine. That's their prerogative. If you're going to lose at the rate that they've lost at this year, that's okay to me if you're developing some of the younger guys.
Well, you may see that in the last week.
That, so, like, you could say 30 minutes is a lot. Like, to me, he needs to play in every closing situation. I'm talking about Jonathan Kuminga in particular. Every closing situation as possible so that he, next year, doesn't go through the learning growths that we're going through now.
But Shasky, grant me this. He's closed most games since January 5th. He didn't close yesterday, and they got to have a game. And Wiggins was just playing better defensively yesterday.
Okay, so 3 months. He's played in the league for 3 years. But he's closed most of the games for three months.
But I hear you.
And like, where I would come down is like, okay, great. It's mandatory that he closes every single one of these games, okay, so that in year four, when I have to make a decision, in the offseason, I have to make a decision about his money, year four, I know that this guy is a trusted closer no matter what, because we said this last year, and now we're into the year three, and it's like, I mean, what are we going to, year four, year five, year six?
But Steve Kerr has given the youngsters opportunities. Trace Jackson Davis played nearly 29 minutes yesterday.
No, it's not opportunities. It's dedication.
Okay, they are dedicated. They're in the rotation now. Last year, Moody and Kuminga couldn't crack the rotation.
I mean,
now you got a rookie starting. You got Kuminga playing 30 minutes. You got TJD playing 28 minutes yesterday. The only odd man out has been Moses Moody. He hasn't played much. Now, where are you going to fit Moses Moody in? I don't know.
I don't know
who you're going to play him over. I don't know. So that's where we're at. Kuminga's playing. But again, I look at certain possessions, and I understand why Kerr will pull Kuminga out. At times, Kuminga becomes a ball pounder. You got to play .5 basketball. Now, maybe you can make the argument that Kerr needs to adjust to Kuminga and play and cater more to his style. Maybe that's a conversation in the offseason. Maybe they tinker with this offense. Maybe they tinker with the way they do things and how they attack offensively. But right now, they're still playing through Steph Curry, which means you got to play .5 basketball. And at times, Kuminga gets lost into that. And I'm the biggest Kuminga fan. Trust me, I'm watching every movement that he makes on the basketball court. I'm watching every dribble because he excites me with the way he plays. But at times, he's impatient offensively. At times, he rushes. At times, defensively, in a team defensive concept, he gets lost and breaks down. In a game like last night, 107-104, Kerr had it. It's a split action. You get the ball down to the post of Kuminga. You're moving too fast. Collie's sitting on it. You got to wait for Curry to come off that screen. Kuminga was thinking about something else. They steal it. They go the other way. They hit a layup. All right? That's why he's not playing at times yesterday down the stretch. Kerr's got to have it. Got to have that game. We can all agree to disagree.
Who are the fans in the organization more invested in? Kuminga? I'm just asking.
About the organization. The fans are invested in winning.
No.
The fans. Miss me with this one with the fans.
What?
What the fans want. Who cares what the fans want? It's what the organization and the coaches want. We as fans are still going to watch. But we as fans have wanted Pajinski to start. We've wanted Kuminga to start. We've wanted this guy to play, that guy to play. Now the fans are flipping on Pajinski. So I don't care what the fans want right now.
I don't care
because the fans last month told me they wanted Pajinski to start. Now a month later, we got to get Pajinski off the floor.
The fans.
I don't care about the fans.
Without the fans, there is no sport. You know what I mean? You got to have the money. Like that's who pays the bills. Like the fans, the consumer.
The television contracts pays the bills.
Well, who do you think's
the
watching?
The television contracts.
Yeah, but who do you think's watching? Right. Non-fans?
Oh, man. The fans.
It's Come true. On. The fans are the ones watching. Like, you have to acknowledge that. There's a consumer
Whatever. The fans. The same fans that won't show up to a game if the team's losing. Those same fans?
Well, that's how fandom works.
I mean, exactly.
So I don't want to hear about the fans, what they want. It's about what the coaches and the organization wants. The fans want.
You
want a Pajinski to play 30 minutes a game, right? You want a Kuminga to play this. You want a Klay Thompson to come off the bench. You got what you wanted. And now the team's 36-34. What do you mean? The fans want everything. I can't keep up with what the fans want.
I think the fans just want a better overall product on a night-to-night basis.
Gosh.
And it's just every night. It's just every time we feel like we're close to getting there, then they have some sort of setback like they've had these last two games, and then we're back at the drawing board banging our heads against the wall, wondering what's going wrong.
We all want that. You know what's going on? Is that the team's just not good enough. Can we wrap our heads around that? You're too small. You're not athletic. But don't give me this with the fans want this and that. The fans flip-flop every single day.
Yeah, but the fans are the reason that you can afford the luxury tax at the rate that you can. Like, come on, we have to acknowledge that.
Let's go to the cost, man. I'm not going to get into this today. I'm not doing this today, Shasky. I'm not doing this with that. BPA, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I think, it's not in the cards. Not close. They're the fifth worst team in the Western Conference. They're not even going to get the last play-in slot, and they really don't deserve it. And so it is what it is. And, I think it's like I would quote Shakespeare and say, "Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing," is the story of the 2023-24 Warriors. The question now is, can they reimagine this team for Steph for one more? Because, that's hard to map that out in your mind right now. But nostalgia tour is over. They need to be pretty cruel and calculating this offseason. And nostalgia, run it back, guys, and contracts, that's off. That has to be off the table. I mean, you're paying $70 million for, you know, Kerr and Wiggins, or Clay and Wiggins, right? You need superstars for that. And they don't, neither are even like starter level caliber guys anymore. So it's what it is, but yeah. What's that?
No, good call, BPA. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say the fans don't matter. They do. But don't, I'm not here, because I get on Twitter. I get DMs. I get Instagram messages. The fans go back and forth every single day. What the fans want and what they want. I've heard them want so many different lineup combinations and this guy to play and that guy to play and that guy struggles. All of a sudden you want this guy. Fans will flip-flop. And I do it too. We flip-flop so damn quick. So I don't want to hear about what the fans want with this basketball team. You wanted Clay to come off the bench, you got it. All right? You got it. Now what? You want a pause to start, now what? You want a Kuminga to play? Well, guess what? I want a Kuminga to play. He's playing 30 minutes a game. All right? So what else do we, like, I'm not here to say, oh, the fans, this and the fans. Like, come on, man. Well, that's, the fans will turn on this team in a heartbeat. Well, you know that. You know that, and I know that, Chasky.
Yeah, that's life, Monte. That's called capitalism in America.
But I'm not here to hear that.
You know? What do you mean you're not here to hear that? That's the reality.
Stand on yours. Like, don't flip-flop and ditch the team when things are going bad. They don't need just the come revenue. Around when like, everything is good.
Is it not a business?
Gosh.
Well, no, I think just to add on to it, I think it's not just so much the fans want to see Clay come off the bench or they want to see Kuminga close. They just want to see a team that's heading in the correct direction.
Exactly.
So when they see, you know, move Clay to the bench, that's the move that makes the team a little bit better.
Team struggles. They thought this was the right direction.
And now you got to pivot into a different direction.
Exactly, and that's going to happen in the offseason, yeah. Don't you think?
No, I absolutely agree with you, but I think overall that's what the fans are looking for. They just want to see positive direction. If they don't see it going in a positive direction, then you got to course correct, and that's where we're at right now.
I don't think some fans know what the hell they want. That's just me.
Well, yeah, you know.
Because the new age fandom is a little different. Than what the old fandom is. New fandom has no patience.
Let's be real.
New fandom has no patience whatsoever.
Well, neither does the NFL. I mean, look, Justin Fields got traded after 2 years. Zach Wilson got traded after 2 years. Like, that's sports in the modern age, B. Like, the days of sitting a guy for 5 years, like the Jordan Love thing is an outlier. To sit that long and then finally get a chance.
Well, that's how it should work. But patience.
Well, the money's nobody too big. But again, I go back to the business. The money is so big now, you're not going to sit there with a failing product year after year and just collect losses. Like, the money overrides everything. Like, this is a business, as all the players acknowledge. And so I look at it this way. We could talk about fans, course correcting and all this. I'm very interested. Like, this comes down to Steph, right? There's a big part of this that comes down to Steph. God, what is going through his head right now? Because Kerr's saying one thing at the podium yesterday. He's saying something else. I don't know, you know, where he falls in terms of like what they need to do this offseason. They got more decisions. Chris Paul decision, and that he has it on his own. The Clay decision. What do you do with Draymond? Do you just keep staying with course with them? Do you keep the youngsters? They might lose their lottery protected pick. If it's not one of the first three picks. Like, there's a lot. We don't know.
Let's go to Robert of San Jose. Robert, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Thanks for taking my call, Monte and Joe. I'm a little older than you guys. I've been going to Warriors games. I've family sat season tickets since the early 70s. Rick Barry and Clifford Ray are those my first Warriors that I rooted for. So a lot of these young folks that I hear calling up kind of crack me up. I saw a lot of bad basketball. Winning 15 games, 20 games this season was what I saw up until the time that Steve Kerr got here. So this is all gravy for me. This is a young team. Young players are inconsistent. You have rookies in Przinski and Trace Jackson Davis. You have a first-year starter in Kuminga. What do you guys expect? If you look around the league at young teams, they're inconsistent. This is a young team, three young guys. I'm not even mentioning Moses Moody. Relax. They'll be a better team next year. I think Przinski's a gym rat. I expect him to be better next year. Trace Jackson Davis is a gym rat. I expect him to be better next year. I think Jonathan Kuminga can be as good as he wants to be. He's got that kind of talent. Let's just let these guys marinate a little bit, get some experience this year, and see what happens next year.
I think the part that other people in the organization would say is that they have so much financially invested into the older core, and you do have one of the greatest franchise players the game has ever seen in Steph Curry, and you don't just punt on years in the middle of, well, I guess toward the end of his career, right? That's not great business. That's not great basketball logic. Would you meet me there?
It's kind of what I've been saying. I mean, I've been there.
What?
I've been there.
Been where?
What you just said. I've been at that point.
Which is what?
Which is when you play youngsters, you run the risk of being inconsistent. You run the risk. And yes, you want to see what they have, but are they going to be ready? Steph Curry's at a level where he wants to play for championships. How long does he want to wait? How long?
Yeah, but that's not Kuminga's fault. Right. Like, that's Andrew Wiggins hasn't been good enough.
Exactly.
And Draymond and Clay and CP3.
Kuminga may not be good enough next year. He may not be good enough yesterday to play at a championship level. There's still flaws in his game as well as he's playing. I love the way he's playing. Got to get a little sweat. And maybe another offseason, he gets in the lab and he becomes a different player. I think Kuminga has star written all over him.
I mean, thank God he went on the tear that he did, because they wouldn't have gone 14-4. They'd be like the 12 seed right now.
Well, you know what? Maybe they're higher. I don't know. Let's go to...
Without Kuminga?
Let's go to Kurt in Oakland. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've been a Warrior fan since 92. So I've sat through the bad years where hopefully the Warriors could win more than 20 games and they're the laughingstock of the league. When Zarko Jabarkaba and Gilbert Arenas gave Yao Ming a little bit of trouble, but Yao still won it. You know, Bimbo Coles, Tony Delk, B.J. Armstrong, they brought Jason Caffey in. You know, you can go down the list. Bonzo and Terry Cummings. You know, so it's a hiccup. It happens. We just got to right the ship and stick with them no matter what. My only dilemma is when Kuminga drives to the lane, he yells trying to get a call. He doesn't get the call, and then he pouts. And it's like, okay, yeah, they're going to foul him. We get that. But he's not going to get those calls. And that kind of takes him out of the game. And teams understand that with him now. So they'll push him a little bit harder. They'll hack at him a little bit harder, and they'll frustrate him. And then he doesn't know what to do. And then on defense, he gets lost because he's so mad about the play earlier. And, you know, once he counters that and figures out, okay, I'm not going to get these calls, let me just keep playing, he's going to be even better than what he is now. But he needs to stop yelling. You can literally hear him from the TV yelling.
Well, what I'm interested in is, thanks for the call, Kurt. What I'm interested in with Jonathan Kuminga this offseason, when he comes back next season, is how he adjusts to the way teams play him.
Yes.
He's now elevated on the scouting report. You're no longer just, hey, this role player where, oh, hey, watch for this kid, 00. He may come in on a break and he may make some highlights. He's now up on the pecking order. Yep. The first page of the scouting report, he's on it now. So he's going to garner a lot of attention moving forward here. And so he's going to have to make an adjustment. And I'm eager to see that. And he's going to get the minutes to do that. Again, he played 30 minutes yesterday. Played 30 minutes. Okay, we could nitpick, and I knew this would be a problem all season long. I knew it, and nobody wanted to listen to it. The whole starting lineup thing is so overrated and overblown. They've had 25, 24 different starting lineups. It's about who's finishing the game, right? That's what we're arguing about. Who's finishing and who's not finishing. We've argued about that all season long. Uh-huh. And I knew that would be a sticky point. Everybody's so worried about number 3, Chris Paul out of Wake Forest. Oh, starting lineup, blah, blah, blah. Has nothing to do with anything. Who's playing down the stretch? And we could nitpick on who plays down the stretch, but when you have a team and you've been inconsistent all season long, I'll give Steve Kerr this. It is a hard job.
Oh,
right now, his job is very, very difficult trying to find the right combination every single game. At least Minnesota, they know. Our final five, we may have to tinker with one position. The Warriors are tinkering outside of Steph and outside of Dre. They're tinkering with three different spots every single night trying to finish a basketball game.
And
no contenders doing that.
We'll talk about that on the other side.
No contenders doing that in this league. They know who their final five is.
The Warriors aren't contenders.
Well, now we know that. We'll talk more Dubs here with Joe, Casey, and Gene on the other side, and that'll be brought to you by Safeway.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.